Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Sunday morning, huh? January the 4th, 2015, and who'd have thought? Here we are. Wow. Days, weeks, months, they pass so quickly. And then you have to look back at it and say to yourself, well, what was this really all about? And that's probably a good way to describe my program for you this morning from the letters and the emails that I have received. And I want to thank all of the people who take the time to come to this website, to listen to me on radio, and to have this experience. I'm very, very honored. These radio programs are only made available through the loving hearts of sponsors who have made donations to pay for airtime and make this possible. So I always like to thank them and tell you that without your sponsorship, you could not hear these programs. Without your loving heart and kindness, none of this would be possible. And this is, in my opinion, a very good use of money. It helps many people. It will help you. And hopefully the people who have written me today, this will be very, very important. All these emails came in one day. So I want you to know that. First one comes from Stacy, and she lives in Los Angeles. She says, how did my mind get so fearful? I am amazed at how afraid of everything I am. I feel like such a wimp, Stacy. I love you, Stacy. Do you know, Stacy, how few people ever admit about their fear and how afraid they are and what's going on in their life, yada da yada da. So very few people. You are a rare breed of human being, my dear, and I admire it. So let me get into the fear thing, and I just wanted to thank you for your beautiful email. I really did, and your kind comments after. Please know I'm grateful, and I hope you will become a sponsor soon. Everybody blames their mind. Everybody. Everybody thinks it's the mind that is the culprit. It's not. Your mind is a patsy to your emotions. It is my emotions that are setting into play everything that is happening in my worldly life. It is my emotions. My mind, because I have pointed my mind towards my emotions and urges, my DNA, because I have relegated my entire life to that, is simply reflecting what I'm pointing it at. A mirror is not a bad thing. If you don't like what you see in the mirror, you have to point it another way. And that's exactly what's happening here. Just because your mind, which is a mirror, is reflecting the image and the likeness of Stacy and her emotional nature, doesn't mean your mind's the culprit. In my case, it would be Greg. If I point my mind towards Greg and I listen to what he has to say and I look at what he's thinking, saying, and doing from an emotional premise, I lose the meaning of my own life. I lose the meaning of everything that is important. I will think that my mind has created all of this. Not so. My emotions are creating all of this havoc, all of this desperation, all of this hate and fear. And I understand why you would be afraid. I mean, think about it here for a moment. Think about all the emotional stuff you don't know you're doing. All the emotional stuff that you're going through, even as you listen to this radio program, Stacy, even as you listen to it, think about all the things that your mind is being pointed at, and you are forcing it to be relegated to this kind of thing because of urges, because of emotional desperateness, because of low self-esteem. There's 100 million reasons why we do this. Only when you have become, as Lhotse said, a sick of your sickness will you do anything about it. Our emotions are many. We congregate them through hate and fear inside of us, and then we formulate a barrier. Not a bridge, but a barrier to love. We actually pit the human heart against the spiritual heart. We pit our human heart, which is full of hate and fear, based in our DNA, our past lives, so many things. And we pit that against the heart of intuition, the heart of loving kindness, the heart of, well, knowing you're blessed. And here's the thing, Stacy, you are blessed. You just have forgotten it. You can change all of this anytime you want. You can change any of it. Meditation is not making your mind right. Meditation is not having no thoughts in your head. Meditation is about pointing your attentions to the heart, to the no-thingness that is the heart. The heart is not emotional. It does not contain all the emotional upheaval, the congregating of emotions that we have done. Our human heart is just full of intrepidation and fears and hatreds and traps. And it can con us into believing we're a victim or con us into believing we're a victor. It can con us to believe in anything it wants to con us into. But that isn't going to change anything. It doesn't mean that that's reality. When we meditate, Stacy, we are pointing our attentions away from the emotional nature. And the first thing we are doing is we're using our breath as a way, as a vehicle, to take us away from our emotionality, watching the breath go in and out very gently. I have meditations, loads of them, here on my website you can look at, you can order, you can get established in, where you do breath patterns through the chakras, thus creating a different attention. Pointing the mind away from emotion. But you see, the reason emotions are so tantalizing to us is because we identify with them. Your whole persona as a Stacy is based in your emotional nature, in whatever it is that you are emotional about. So if you are going to live your life as a matter of spirit, a matter of kindness, of love, you're going to have to move away from emotions, betray them. You must betray them as you have betrayed your heart, your authentic heart. And this is a tough one to do because no one in this culture, in this society, not many at all are going to help you with this, are going to support you in it. People want to support you in your fear, in your hatred, in your desperateness, in your persona, in your personality, in your sex, being a female, that is. Everything is about a certain quality of fear, of tension. The world is a noisy, ugly place now because there are so many of us. And everything has to go to extreme. Without extremes, everything becomes just pedestrian, to the pedestrian mentality. So people are out there trying to make everything an extreme. And most people fall into it, young people especially. Stacy, you ask me, how did my mind get so fearful? You did this to your mind. You cluttered up your mind with fear and hate by being so emotional, by acting and living from urges rather than from the spontaneity of intuition of a heartfelt love inside you. You have missed the entire experience. And because you have missed that experience, and because you want to be emotional because it defines you as a person, you want to be different than others emotionally, but the same, not too different, but just enough to let you fit right into society and culture. And as long as you do that, you're going to suffer the consequences. Meditation is not a difficult thing. It is an honor and a privilege. It is something that most people just simply are not savvy to because it requires discipline and sacrifice. And when you say discipline and sacrifice to people, they run for the hills as fast as they can. And that's why meditation, inner work, the nature of compassion and love in our world is not very popular and probably never will be. We forget the great masters. We don't even care about them. We only want what we want. So, Stacy, give up what you want. Give up wanting what you want. Give up trying to figure this all out. Start to look at your emotions a little bit, your fear, your boredom, your anger, as Jonathan Livingston Seagull said so many years ago. Just start to look at it. Be observant of how it comes out of you, when it comes out of you. Just watch. And as you watch, creating that witness within, you'll start to understand why your mind is the way it is. And you can change whatever you want to do with your life from there. Your mind is a very beautiful and powerful instrument, and you don't want it to fall into the hands of the pedestrian mentality that lives within your personality as Stacy. You want to allow your mind to grow and flourish in kindness, in love, in playfulness, in creativity, beyond emotionality, into the heart of hearts. You can do this. Anyone can do it. It just requires a great deal of practice. And that's why we call this a spiritual practice. You're going to have to be tolerant, forgiving, patient, and kind with yourself. I hope that helps you, Stacy. Thank you so much for your kind comments. And please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question, isn't it? I mean, really, just a fabulous question. Just fabulous. Next question comes from Ed. He does not tell me where he lives. Are people worthy and unworthy when it comes to karma? Is that why certain people have certain good things happen into their life and certain people have bad things? Ed. Ed, this is a common misnomer among people. It is the philosophy of the fool, and you should not adopt it at all. Not at all, because that has nothing to do with karma at all. There is no such thing as worthy and unworthy. Yet, there are those of us who attract, due to our feeling, our emotions about being unworthy, everything to us that happens to us. It isn't a matter of worthy and unworthy. It's a matter of how do I live with myself? What would denote worthiness? Really, if you think about it, what would denote it? That you don't say swear words, or that you are polite to people, or you're smarter than others. What would denote worthiness, really? I have seen some very, shall we say, cruel and unkind people get all sorts of money, tons of it. I have seen very kind and simple people just suffer grievously over money and not have enough to pay the bills. I've seen it all. And so have you. If you judge according to appearances, if you see what people do and what they get and what they don't get, and you assume that only good people get good things, you will miss. And I'm going to tell you the truth right now, Ed. And here it is. good things, what you call good, which would probably be money and notoriety or comfort or ease of life or whatever, come to certain people as a trap. It is actually entrapping them, engulfing them. Because when they think they're doing well, they don't think they have to do any more. They think they have deserved it. And then they hoard their wealth or they hoard their money and they don't tell anybody about how much they have or whatever, and that they never give, they never forgive, they can't do any of it, and they hoard it in this life. And they look like they're getting away with it, but they're not. And the people who you look at who are very kind, extremely generous, loving, who do things that they can't afford, give where most people would say, you can't afford that. These are people who look very unworthy, look like fools and idiots for the things they do. They working things out in their life. I have seen very poor people be much happier than the people who had all the money that could buy almost anything they wanted. When I was in India, I would see so many poor people, Ed, so many. Were they unworthy? Were they being punished for whatever? Why were they going through what they were going through? They were very happy. They would laugh. They would share. They wanted to know about me. They wanted to meet me. We were filming there. They were very kind and sweet, very heartfelt. And I have met people here in the West who are very similar to that. I think we should not judge anything. As a person, this is what you get when you're a worthy person. This is what you get when you're an unworthy person. I don't think any of us should look at it that way. Instead, you want to look into the heart of people. You want to see their countenance. And you don't want to be counting money and shillings and dollars and cents and evaluating your life against their life and pitting your life against their life and all that other horse manure that we love to do. Rather, go into their countenance, their energy. Feel where they are. Feel who you are. Understand that whomever you meet, it is a divine rendezvous to meet them. It is a divine opportunity to meet them. You enter into their lives not because of luck and chance, but because of karma. If karma does anything, Ed, it draws us together in circumstances with people and conditions that are there to bring us to love, to help us shed our beliefs, our theories, our ideals, to help us ruin whatever it is that is our philosophy, and learn that any philosophy that I have is ugly. Any philosophy I have keeps me from the way. And you don't want to live like that. You don't want to live opposed to the way. You want to live into the way. So don't be looking for circumstances to prove another person's value or worth or spirituality. Don't do that. That's really foolish. And that's the misuse of my mind when I do that. Coming to conclusions about people that simply aren't there. I have done it in the past as well, Ed. I know this one really well. When I was younger, I used to do it all the time, I think, unconsciously. But as I began to go deeper into my practice and go deeper into that which lives within us all, which is love, I realized how foolish that is. And I don't do that. Instead, I enter into their countenance. I enter into their aura, their life. I'm privileged, and I'm always looking for ways to share with these kinds of people, share myself, to give and forgive. And if you do this kind of thing, it will help you immensely. If you don't do this kind of thing, you will miss everything that comes to you, because we enter into experiences long before we have them. We set into motion through karma many, many lifetimes. You are building a lifetime as I speak to you right now. You are building another lifetime, another body, another whole living. And you are building it without even knowing it, but you and I are. And we enter into those experiences long before we experience them because we're building them constantly. If you want to change your life, change the way you live in this world. Be generous, be forgiving, be unconscionably kind and loving. It will serve you well, my dear man. Ed, thank you for listening to Aspire. I deeply appreciate it. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Linda in San Diego. She has watched me on TV for many years there, and I'm very grateful. You wrote a commentary that was very interesting. It is about loving people in relationship, and saying in the commentary that loving people in a relationship can be a poison. Please explain, Linda. I did write that, and I will explain it. Linda, thank you for being so astute. You are the only person that has brought it up. Sometimes I like to lay these things into commentaries to see if it provokes anything, and typically it doesn't because not many people read them. Not many people even understand them. If I love you, Linda, and I love you as a person, let's say as a friend or as a partner or whatever, a sexual partner, a mate, whatever. If I bring my emotionality into it, and the only thing I love you from is my emotionality, then it becomes a poison. Our relationship becomes ugly and a poison. I have learned this through many relationships that I have had with women and friendships I have had with men. If I bring my emotionality into it, then it becomes a poison in my own life. If I can't love you beyond the body, the mind, the emotions, if I can't love you as you are, which is beyond the human experience, then I bring emotionality into our relationship, into our friendship, into whatever we have that we call a relationship. Relationships are foolish things. I'll tell you why. If I only seek to have a relationship with you as a human being, then I'm going to do many ugly things to sustain that relationship. You and I all have to agree on our hate, our fears, our prejudices, all the things that we think are the basic philosophy of a good relationship between each other. Relationships are foolish. If you want to be in relationship with another person, it will get ugly and poisonous to your heart and soul. And you will never be able to mature and grow because it will be based on the prejudice of human emotion, DNA, and all sorts of ugly things. But if I can have a relationship with love and share that relationship of love with you as a friend or as a lover, as a mate, as a whatever, a parent, a child, whatever, now I have changed the gestalt of it all. Now, it's not Greg's love that is imbibing you. It is the deeper, more profound love that is imbibing our relationship. And we are seeking to break down the Greg and Linda thing and live in the love that exists within us and between us. And now something far more powerful has happened in relationship. I'm no longer in the falderall of you like this and I like that, and I'll accommodate you for this and you'll accommodate me for that. That's where everything becomes a business deal and nothing is of love. Now, if you can understand what I just gave you, you can enter into a beautiful relationship, not only with another, but with yourself. And if you can't have one with yourself, you'll never have anything with another person. Not ever, not never. So it's not a matter of doing this relationship and you and I accommodating each other, negotiating what we will and will not do and what we will say and what we won't say and how we will act and how we won't act. If you make love first and you only are devoted to love, then it is no longer a relationship between two people. It's a relationship first with love and then the sharing of that with each other. And that can't be done through ego, vanity, pride, and human emotion. It just can't be done. Say what you will, do what you want. It can't be done. You have to decide the quality of your life. And Linda, I have found that the only quality of life that is worth living is through love. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, please come to this website here at aspire.org. Go look up at the top. It says contact. Just click on it. Send me an email. And if you don't want me to use your name or where you live or whatever, just let me know and I won't do it. And it's your question that I think is very important. I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air next week. Thank you for your support and your loving kindness. And please forgive me. Namaste.